This is the Scale with Psychology podcast, where you're going to optimize your psychology to exponentially scale your business and become the ultimate version of yourself. I'm your host, Ani Manian, widely known as the Mind Whisperer and trusted advisor and psychedelic therapist to the world's top entrepreneurs and leaders. And I believe that entrepreneurship is a mental game. And the main constraint in any business is not the strategies and tactics, but the psychology of the founder. And with each episode, I'm going to help you take your life and business to levels you never thought possible. If you're ready to play the game of life and business in God mode, then this is the podcast for you. I've seen a pattern. And the pattern is that as soon as founders get a piece of clarity that they didn't have before or they were struggling to get to for a long time, right off, so clarity brings a sense of relief. It brings a sense of excitement. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, that puts us outside our set point in terms of how much goodness we're willing to tolerate, how much ease we're willing to tolerate, how much peace we're habituated to find safe in our nervous system, how much absence of chaos feels acceptable for us. And sometimes, again, not every time, but sometimes for some founders, what happens is that that's when the self-sabotage kicks in to start bringing them back to the baseline where they're habituated. And this is the baseline in terms of money. This is the baseline in terms of stress. This is the baseline in terms of chaos. This is the baseline in terms of worry and doubt and fear. And whenever, so let me share an equation that I created to illustrate this point, which is growth equals effort minus resistance. Because of who I am, I generally prefer to not increase effort. The only kind of effort that I enjoy is effort that feels like play. So this conversation here for me is not effortful because I'm not being someone else. There is no performance there. I'm not trying in any way. But typically, the effort side of the equation is what most people feel more comfortable playing with. But I find that it's far more advantageous to work on the resistance side. So effort minus resistance equals growth. What happens is that as soon as we get clarity, we have some sort of breakthrough, our mind immediately gets uncomfortable. And it starts kicking up resistance. And that resistance could be doubt. It could be fear, it could be second guessing, it could be overthinking, it could be anxiety, it could be any number of things, it could be procrastination. And what happens is that that initial hit of that excitement and clarity and alignment that we experience starts getting tempered down by the resistance, because all of this is an effort to find that place where we feel comfortable again in terms of our nervous system. So we naturally resist growth. And this is the deepest fuckery of business, because growth is what all of us are trying to engineer. But subconsciously, we resist growth because growth means change. And change means moving into the unfamiliar. And oh my God, we will do whatever it takes to avoid the unfamiliar subconsciously. Because the unfamiliar fundamentally feels unsafe. So we're programmed from an evolutionary perspective to cling to safety. And in doing so, we resist growth, sometimes at all costs. Sometimes we will work 4 hours extra a day to keep ourselves busy and avoid growth. Right? So the key idea is that our goals and desires, especially the ones we're trying to bring into form, they threaten the survival of our current psychological self. So our psychological self fights and resists our goals because it actually treats it just like our immune system treats a virus. It sees it as the enemy. And so this internal death match creates stuckness and growth plateaus in the best case and self-sabotage in the worst case. And I've seen people, they run this loop for years. And it's very, very, very challenging. And I'm not going to let that happen to you guys. So what happens is that the closer we get to our goal, the further we get from our baseline place where we feel safe and familiar. And that's true again in terms of money. It's true in terms of stress. It's true in terms of how much work we have to do to get the certain revenue and profit. It's true for all the different areas. So the greater distance from our baseline, the greater the tension. And the greater the tension, the more resistance we feel. And the rubber band basically tries to bring us back to our baseline. So this is what creates the yo-yo effect. I've seen people who they will make $1 million and then their expenses will skyrocket to match the increase in the earning, and they will spend a whole bunch of that money and they'll come back to the place where they're comfortable. Because they have an energetic set point around money, where if they're used to seeing, $20,000 in their bank account, roughly on average, they become used to that. And if there's 40,000, they'll find a way to get rid of the 20,000. This, of course, happens with relationships as well, right? If, with love, because that's sort of the core of where all of this programming comes from, our relationship with our caretakers and therefore our relationship with ourselves. So what happens is that every goal or desire we have immediately creates a proportional amount of resistance. And we have to get really good at managing this resistance. So first we have to identify the resistance, then we have to figure out how to manage it. If we don't, it's going to keep us frozen in a state of paralysis, or it's going to create that yo-yo effect. And I call this psychological inertia. So a lot of founders, a lot of entrepreneurs out there are stuck in this psychological inertia. They're doing all the things, they're working really hard, right? They have all the tactics and the strategies and the, but it's actually not translating in terms of the growth curve, right? This shows up in every part of life. It'll show up with losing weight, quitting bad habits like cigarettes or alcohol. And no matter how damaging the habit, it doesn't matter. And of course, it applies to making more money and scaling our business. So most people in this situation, they again focus on trying to do more, add more, working more, expend more energy, put out more effort. And that only at best produces some sort of incremental gain, but it comes at a grave cost because doing more is a temporary dopamine hit. It's not a sustainable long-term solution. Mainly because we can't keep adding effort to a system without increasing entropy and the cost of managing that additional effort. And that typically requires more organization. So over time, it leads to diminishing returns and it eventually becomes counterproductive. So basically, the more we add to the business, the more energetically expensive it becomes to maintain, just like our physical body, right? So to produce an exponential gain and sustain an exponential gain, it's much more effective to reduce or remove the resistance. So the thing to remember is that the resistance isn't created by the action, but the person performing the action. So action, all action is neutral, and all resistance is psychological. So you take someone who feels some sort of resistance doing cold calling or creating content. The action is neutral because someone else might have no trouble performing the same action. The variable here is the psychological structure that is being applied to that action. So typically, the areas and the activities that produce the highest resistance also offer the greatest potential for growth and are the biggest sources of untapped opportunity in your business. So the challenge here is not physical or a matter of effort, it's psychological, and it's really about how much emotional discomfort you can hold. Because what's going to happen is as you move further and further away from your baseline, you will experience an increase in emotional discomfort. Most people, they will try to discharge this with either doing more work, social media, food, or some other, method, some sort of coping mechanism. And some people will, it'll get so uncomfortable that they'll revert back to what was comfortable. So what we want to do is we want to get really good at holding that emotional discomfort, not discharging it, not turning away from it, really being with it, and actually using that to fuel us to go forward. So as we sit with that, as we sit with the fear, and we basically did a version of this on our call last week where we actually sat with the fear of the new model. Hey, if I have some doubt, some fear, some worry, some anxiety coming up about this new model, because if I go there, I might be missing out on, money next month. So we didn't negate it, right? We didn't try to diminish it or attack it or gaslight it. We sat with it and we worked through it till it actually felt safe to move forward. Because unless and until success feels safe in our nervous system, we will do whatever we can to avoid it. So the core principle here is we are trying to make where we're trying to go safe for us to go. We're trying to make the vehicle, which is the model or the architecture of the business that we want to take to get there, safe to be in. And when that discomfort comes up because of a perceived lack of safety, because it's always a perceived lack of safety, we're not actually dealing with being attacked by a wild tiger in the jungle. We have to get really good at, this is the key, creating intimacy with ourselves, attuning to ourselves. And for most people, this is really uncomfortable. For some people, it's easier. And all of you are really self-aware. All of you are really open and ambitious and extremely intelligent. And this is the core skill that I want to point at that you should all start dipping your feet and toes and knees and legs into, just like a cold plunge. Because as we cultivate the capacity to hold that discomfort, eventually it'll discharge into bliss. Just like a cold plunge in the beginning, when we step in, all systems are screaming, get out of here. We sit there for 4 minutes, and suddenly it feels like we can sit in here for another 10, and we feel blissed out. So it's that same process where over time we expand our window of tolerance, and we get so good at it that we can actually set a big goal, choose a path that'll get us there, that puts us way outside our baseline. And very smoothly, we can take action without getting in our own way. So that's the idea that I wanted to share with you and give you this context, because again, this is not going to happen to all of you. This is not going to happen to all of you in the same way. But I want you to have the context so you know what to look for. So let's do a quick exercise. So I want you to close your eyes. Brooks, you too. And because all of us, regardless of where we are and what we're doing and what our next step is, typically there is always an experience that's alive inside us. And we're connected to that to varying degrees. I want you to just start by noticing. And I want you to notice sensations, emotions, thoughts, beliefs. Just bring into focus the contents of your experience. We're not going to try and change anything. We're not going to try and solve anything first, but we just want to create a space where all those things can be seen and noticed. Notice any tension in your body. Notice if something feels uncomfortable. Is any fear? Is any sadness? Is any grief? Any doubt? Notice where that sits in your body. Maybe put one hand on your belly or two hands on your belly. Just let the child inside know that they're safe. Are safe. My child may be scared. My child may be worried, afraid, concerned. My child might be mistrustful because he experienced betrayal at some point. Or he was abandoned when he really needed someone to be there. Just let that child know that you're not going anywhere. I've got you. You can trust me. Just notice what it's like to create this connection with yourself, to choose to feel this level of trust with yourself, because it's a choice. Notice what happens to your emotional experience as you lean into this choice. Maybe energy starts to move. Maybe your body starts releasing some of that stored tension. Notice that you can count on yourself. Because you are the ultimate safety net for yourself. And you've successfully been an amazing safety net for yourself. Because you've always figured it out. Even against all odds, you always had your back. You always found a way to move forward. You always figured it out. Notice what it's like to feel like you can trust yourself. To feel like you can count on yourself. Does it create more safety? Does it give you an anchor? Something to hold on to that's stable and secure when everything on the outside is ever changing. The economy, the market, what prospects and clients do. While everything outside changes as in constant flux, notice that what you're craving is an anchor point. And that anchor point is actually the degree to which you allow yourself to count on yourself, the degree to which you allow yourself to trust yourself. Notice that is the only source of certainty in life. Because as much as we try, we cannot control what someone else does. We cannot control the world. We cannot control outside circumstances. I mean, most of the time, we can't even control our own minds. So notice the quality of this connection with yourself. Notice how much trust you feel like you can place on yourself. Notice if at times in the past you've betrayed yourself. See if there's a space to forgive yourself for that. And somewhere underneath that, there just might be a feeling that you'll be okay no matter what. Regardless of the number in your bank account, regardless of what happens in the business. Regardless of who buys and who doesn't, even if all of it goes away, vanishes in the blink of an eye, notice that you will still be okay. It's almost like a floor that you can stand on. This sense of your fundamental well-being that's independent of and separate from every single other thing in your life. I want you to notice what it's like to stand on this floor. It's the only floor that you can control. In your mind's eye, I want you to visualize standing on the strongest, hardest, impenetrable floor that you can imagine. Notice what color it is. Notice what the texture is. And you can even kick it to be sure that there's no give. And if you wish to use a sledgehammer or a big construction drill, or some other heavy machinery to test the integrity of this floor, go ahead and do that. And notice that nothing can get through. It's more solid than any other thing in the universe. Because this is the floor of self-trust. the secure relationship that you have with yourself. Notice what it feels like to stand on this floor. Notice that you can draw energy from this floor. This floor is always underneath your feet, even if you forget about it. And you can always just remember. And as soon as you notice it appears, even though it's been holding you securely all along. And it's because of this hard, secure, strong floor underneath you that you can build an incredible business. The stronger the floor underneath you, the bigger the impact you can have. The greater the uncertainty you can hold, the bigger you can dream, and the more ambitious you can be. So visualize your goals in this moment, almost like you're holding it in your arms. And as you do so, notice the integrity of the floor underneath you. See if you can allow the energy that is coming into your feet from this floor flow up through your body and into your goals. Notice the floor energizing the goals with certainty, stability, security, and safety. Infusing the sense of safety into your hopes, dreams, and goals. Feel these two parts of you connect through your body being the bridge. Letting yourself know that you can come back to this place anytime you like. Take as much time as you need and open your eyes and come back into the space. What was that like? What feels different now?
Moving from, like, being able to move from trust versus like need or like craving.
Yeah. Chat.
Yeah, like I had a somatic session yesterday, which was very similar notions actually. Like feels like earthing, grounding, And yeah, like Matt said, it's just a different perspective than coming, like going to the vision, like coming from the grounding, and feeling like feeling the place and the pat like the power from that, like from the roots, from the earth.
Yeah. And the reason why I didn't make the floor the earth is because that also is outside us. And it's also something we cannot control. The thing about entrepreneurs is that we are taking an extraordinary level of responsibility for ourselves. So we're betting on ourselves. And that is an extremely vulnerable thing to do. You're in the thick of that experience, right? So we need to develop an internal floor that we can stand on, that is in our control. And what that floor is made of is it's made up of the texture of our attachment system with ourselves. And to put it in plainer language, it's the level of self-trust we feel with ourselves. It's really like, do I feel like I can count on me? Will I have my own back even if everything goes to shit? Do I trust myself to figure it out? Because when I feel that unshakable sense of trust with myself, then I can stay in that place of trust. I don't go into fear. And the reason why I'm going in this direction is because it appears that the source of the fear is the thing outside. It's like, oh, we may run out of cash in 60 days. We may not have the same level of success with blah, blah, blah. This may not work. That might go wrong. And therefore, I feel this deep uncertainty, doubt, fear, worry, anxiety. But actually, any fear, at least in the context we're speaking of, its source is always a certain level of lack of trust and grounding we feel in ourselves. For most people, civilians, right, who are working jobs, they've outsourced safety to someone else. Hey, you take on, you deal with the uncertainty, just give me a steady paycheck. Right? And nothing wrong with that. I don't mean to make that a pejorative in any way. But for most people on this planet, their attachment to themselves resembles quicksand. So they're literally standing on quicksand. And when we stand on quicksand, when there isn't like firm grounding, we can't really hold a big vision. We can't really hold big goals. Because we can barely trust that we can stand on the surface we're on without falling through. So the most powerful thing we can cultivate in ourselves is that floor. And that gets created, gets stronger the more we, and this is a conscious process we have to engage in, the more we tell ourselves consciously, I got you. You can count on me. You can trust me. We'll figure it out. Because we want to feel solid. Regardless of what happens outside, Because fundamentally, we can't control that. And yes, in a few minutes, we'll talk business strategy, right? And what to actually do. But if we just go there without this conversation, the experience is just going to come up with the next thing and with the next thing because we're just punting it into the future. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found value, please consider leaving a 5-star review to allow the show to reach more people, or share this episode via your social media channels. If you're an entrepreneur and want support in exponentially scaling your business, email me at ani@animanian.com.